the name of our film is.
The truth is out there.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subject.
Now, admittedly...
Okay, it just blew my mind.
Admittedly, that initial psychotherapist, the name of our film is, might possibly have been taken from, you know, Sesame Street. I can appreciate it. Equally, if you give up after the first 20, 25 minutes, you might have said, shaky camera angles, this is not working, you know. It's 2.5 hours craft work while going through the... You never know. The director of The Truth Is Out There might actually be, you know, online at this very moment. What say you, Katie? Do you think Phil Leonis, the director of The Truth Is Out There, might be with us now?
I think so, yeah.
You think that's the truth? Tiffany Freeman, do you think?
Yeah.
I think so. Is Phil Leonis, are you out there?
What's left of me is online and out there and with you and having just learned that apparently I need to get raunchier in order to become more popular. Mm-hmm. I have eschewed my usual pajamas that I wear on your show, and today I'm simply wearing a top coat and nothing else.
Yeah, you see, Pippa Middleton wiggles the rear end, Phil Leonis, possibly too much information there, dressed a la mode.
Oh, the truth is in here, my friend.
There you go. Okay, moving on. There, we heard the promo for the first time. Afraid the DVD's proven to be so popular, I still haven't actually received the copy back. But, you know, whatever. Life continues. A couple of weeks ago, of course, we gave one of our team the opportunity to... In fact, you snatched it, as far as I recall, Joy. You know,
snatched it?
You said,
I
like that.
Do such a thing.
I could ever. I could sort of watch that, you know, preventing Natalie, Katie and Tiffany.
So.
Oh, it's going to be controversial. I tell you what, we'll come back to that in a few moments, because I need to ask Phil at this particular moment in time, what do you make of the fact that there is a talk show host in America who, as I commented on BBC Humberside this very morning, has actually accused the Muppets, that's the Muppets, good grief, the comedian's a bear. No, he's a nut. He's wearing a necktie. Sorry, it's such a good joke. I wanted to run it again. Fozzie Bear, etc. Although I always had a penchant for Sam the American Eagle, personally. But in terms of that, the Muppets have been accused of being pinko left-wing communist sympathisers brainwashing American youth.
What do I think of it? Well, I think anybody who spends any time thinking about it is in some trouble. It's only the latest attack on the Muppets. Remember, there was for quite a while a lot of controversy about whether Bert and Ernie were in a same-sex union. That was a controversy surrounding the
Muppets. Surely
that was Sesame Street, you know, and I've always been a bit concerned about Big Bird. Frankly, I see Big Bird walking down the street, I think, what the heck was in that coffee I took? You know, what is going on here? Also, the high-pitched voice of Big Bird. But the Muppets.
Well, you know, the serious side of this is I read these comments about how children's programming, Hollywood is using children's programming to instill liberal values in people, and it bothers me on a couple of different levels. One is, you know, when you're going to use the word values, the word value is part of it. So therefore, these are beliefs that have value, regardless of whether they are conservative or liberal. I think anything that has value that is being delivered to our children is probably a good thing. I think also if what we mean by liberal values is having a compassion and a concern and a generosity and a kindness for those around us, if that is defined as communist, you know what? Sign me up. Those are not, those ought to not be values that are only communist. Certainly, maybe, God forbid, they could even be capitalist values at some point. I think it's sort of ridiculous, but it does remind me, Alex, of more than a decade ago now, we had, I don't know if you had this in the UK, but we had a purple dinosaur that would teach kids to...
Natalie's almost gone into paroxysm. We're talking Barney here, are we not? We're talking Barney,
you
the purple dinosaur.
Him.
Yeah.
And there was a big attack that was waged, that was started by the KKK, by the modern Klan in this country, because they found out that the man inside the suit was black. And this is kind of what that reminds me of.
And not purple.
You know,
I'm sorry, Phil. No, I just have to stop you there. Are you saying Barney the dinosaur wasn't real?
Well, you know what, Alex? As a comedian friend of mine, the brilliant Sully McCullough, once said, you know, he was almost 7 feet tall, he wore a purple coat, and he could dance. How did you not know that he was black?
Well,
you know, it of course it would have to be. And yet the big question was, you know, why was the Klan watching Barney? Why is this conservative talk show host watching the Muppets? But wait, I guess they're trying to learn how to read just like all the other children.
Of course, there is the notion that the villain in the new Muppet Show movie released in February next year, sadly not in time for the 2012 Oscars, but never mind, is the character Tex Richman. Tex Richman. He's an oil baron who wants to actually bulldoze the Muppet Theatre. Well, exactly, you know, in terms of capitalism. I'm sorry, we're back to purple dinosaur things, Natalie. Don't worry, I haven't sort of negated you on that particular thing. What is it with respect to Barney in particular that appealed to you as you know, a young, maturing journalist?
Well, my childhood's been ruined now that I know that Barney wasn't real.
Phil, do you know what you've actually done tonight? It's or this morning.
I don't know how to approach the subject, really.
It's going so well. Let's just do a quick straw poll in the studio, because I know the guilt that Phil will be suffering at this particular moment will be high indeed. Tiffany, Barney the dinosaur.
Oh, everyone's got to love Barney the dinosaur.
Mm. I don't.
Really?
He's quite annoying.
Right. He's cute. He's a big, cute dinosaur.
And he sings.
Yeah, I won't sing.
Why is he quite annoying, Katie Grimmison from Birmingham? Is it because, you know, he just doesn't connect with reality, you know?
I don't know. I've just never watched it or anything. I just found him quite annoying.
See, that's as bad as somebody who actually watches the first 20 minutes of The Truth Is Out There documentary and says, it's the shaky camera angles. I couldn't take it anymore. The husband said, switch it off. That's not going to work. I'm sorry, Phil, but, you know, sometimes I feel defence has to come straight to the fore here, and the best form of defence is attack, or vice versa. Or is that attack defence?
Well, you are indeed my defence against the dark arts teacher. Mm. You mentioned Hogwarts earlier. You are my defence against the dark arts teacher, Alex, because no matter how dark the world might seem to become, no matter how scary, you teach us that the best way to approach it is with a television theme song in our heart.
It's so true. Exactly. You know, or a Simon and Garfunkel track, which is what we actually have, as clearly the Muppets have not emerged in Mr. Computer as being a valid side of things there. However, you've reached us at another very important time, Phil, because after last week's marathon session, and I say that quite deliberately because Phil Leonis was probably on the phone for longer to the Siren FM studios than indeed anybody since Nixon was actually investigating China in the 1970s. And Siren FM wasn't even functioning as a radio station in the 1970s when Nixon went to China. But in terms of that, yes, because he did this show. And then he also did the American Dream Team. And, you know, they kept him waiting for about 20 minutes. The first thing he does when he comes on, he said he thought he was waiting for some sort of appliance survey system that was being done. But he went down very well. He's even done some specialised jingles, which I haven't had a chance to actually put through the system as yet, but I will. You know, Jodie and Jack will be doing their own thing very shortly. But, Tiffany, you've got a special thing you want to say to your housemates because, Phil, it's fair to say that because Tiffany is taking her duties as a broadcaster very seriously on this, just her second show here on the Midweek Drive, that she's decided that she can't be doing with things like preparing food and such like. She has other people who does that for her, really. Yeah, here in Leicester. So would you like to give a shout out to these folk? There you go.
Thank you, my flatmates, for making the Christmas dinner tonight. I'm sorry I can't make it, but I can't wait to eat it. So see you later.
Well, that's heartfelt, isn't it, Phil? You know, that kind of message. Sort of, you know,
I think if you can indeed maximize the amount of food you get to enjoy while minimizing the amount of roommate conversation, you're ahead of the game. Is that wrong? Is that wrong of me?
No, I think it's perfectly acceptable.
You know why? You know why? Because actually, to sit down for a Christmas meal in community with your roommates, well, that would be communist.
It's true. Wow. Yeah. And you wouldn't want people to be saying that of you when you return to Leicester, Tiffany, to work for that organisation, which is one of the big four supermarkets, which is all orangey.
Poor
you know, I just got to sort of work through it. We're going to find out a little bit more about what Joy Knight actually thought of the truth is out there in a few moments, because the truth is there, the truth is within Joy. It'll be emerging in its own sort of way, etc. But I'm going to give you another choice of music. We'll do some quizzes next time, Phil, in all sorts of ways, and we'll look ahead to what's happening on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition as well. It's an interesting choice, this. It'll be very interesting to see where Phil Lynas actually goes on this. He could say, are you insane? What have you? Has something happened? Is it because you're excited by the Siren FM Christmas party that, you know, Natalie and Joy and myself are heading off to? Katie sadly didn't join the team in time to get her invite, so she's going home alone.
Can't we just take her?
If you'd like to smuggle her in, I'm sure it's fine.
I want to.
I'm exactly. What's not to... Although she did say she didn't like Barney the dinosaur.
She can have half my dinner.
Yeah, well, you've gone for vegetarian sausages. Anyway, the bottom line is, on this slightly surreal little link, Phil Lynas, Simon and Garfunkel, in many ways the musical answer to Hagland and Lynas on a weekly basis with Teal-Pack Hollywood, I found, but without the tension that obviously Simon and Garfunkel manifested in their latter part of their career. You know, there's always a positivity that comes across. So Simon and Garfunkel or David Cassidy? Where do you want to go, David Cassidy or Simon and Garfunkel?
That is actually a very tough choice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there we are. Would it help if I gave you the titles of what tunes they're sort of they're about to be singing? In fact,
you better give me
Tiffany,
the title,
David Cassidy.
Yes, go for him. Yeah.
Really? You're familiar with David Cassidy then?
No, but go for
Just as well, we don't have his stepmom on, you know, Shirley Jones. Is it Katie Grimmison, David Cassidy, or Simon and Garfunkel?
David Cassidy.
You never heard of either of them?
Yes, I've heard of both.
You've had that way. Natalie?
I'm going to say David Cassidy because. I'm not a huge fan of Simon and Garfunkel.
This, of course, Phil doesn't actually necessarily agree with democracy, so he has the casting vote, so that's still coming through on this. Joy.
I don't know any David Cassidy songs, so I'm going to go for Simon and Garfunkel.
Well, it's The Sands of Silence, Sound of Silence, technically, or Praying on My Mind. From the album Dreams Are Nothing More Than Wishes, of course. That's Praying on My Mind, David Cassidy, or The Sound of Silence, Simon and Garfunkel. Where are you going to go? Are you going to listen to the demands of the crowd who have given David Cassidy a 3-1 majority here in the studio? Or are you going to say, no, I don't follow what public opinion says. I walk my own path when it comes to musical choice. What are you going to say, Phil Lynas?
I am always hesitant about democracy, Alex, because, of course, the majority...
I can see the Facebook text going up at this moment. OMG, what a choice. David Cassidy or Simon and Garfunkel.
The majority is usually wrong for at least 20 years. Oh. Nevertheless, I am going with David Cassidy.
In our hands, but time. Time don't really mind if we carry on. Anyway, David Cassidy there and Praying on My Mind. Technically praying on David Cassidy's
Alex?
Mind. Yes.
Alex, is there any way I can change my vote to Simon and Garfunkel?
It's too late now, but I will actually hold Simon and Garfunkel back for you next week, and I won't forget that. It'll be sorted through. There will be messages put together.
In all seriousness, if there had been Google back in the day, David Cassidy was one of those individuals who would have always ranked very high on the Google search list. That was the extent of his popularity.
Don't snort, Katie Grimmison. You know, just as I find out your Christmas present of white lies and farewell to the fairground on Mr. Computer to see us out today, snorting as to the sort of, you know, perceived lack of popularity of one of the early teeny boppers, as they were referred to, you know. We were just actually having a discussion in the studio, Phil, about things that David Cassidy had actually done. Obviously, Partridge Family, I Think I Love You, Point Me in the Direction of Albuquerque, another classic, Cherish, How Can I Be Sure, a whole range of things. Joy Knight actually thought he'd done Puppy Love. I said, no, that's the Osmonds. It's Donny Osmond, to be precise. And if we're talking about hamster love, of course, Muskrat Love was once done by Captain and Tennille. Which was a very sort of a nice little duet, really. It started, in fact, they actually, I think, featured genuine muskrats in the making of Muskrat Love. They weren't harmed. They just went... the start of the thing. Anyway, that's probably too much information for Phil Lynas. What's the weather like in Los Angeles at this moment as we talk about the transatlantic pop culture thing?
Well, the weather... weather has been foremost on the minds of people here in Los Angeles, and I guess across the country, because we've had these extraordinary winds at the end of last week. They were hurricane force winds. The weather could not have been more sunny, more blue sky, but these winds knocked out power for some people up to 3 days. We were without internet. We were without phones. We were without gas, cable television. So it was horrible. There was nothing for entertainment except our old David Cassidy records. And then also, consequently, every bit of dust and debris in Los Angeles got blown up my nose, and that's why I have a head cold this week.
You see, Katie, it's not just smog in Birmingham that impacts on this kind of things. Actually, is there much smog in Birmingham, or are you a nice, clean city these days?
Fairly clean.
Fairly clean. What about Selby in North Yorkshire, Natalie? Because I know sometimes you have a bit of a downer on Selby, North Yorkshire. I don't know, understand why. When I'm driving back up to Middlesbrough, 126 miles away from the studio, I often think, oh, there's the sign for Selby. Should I? I always decide not to, but, you know.
That's the right choice to make.
Oh. Yeah. Is it clean in Selby there? I mean, should Phil Leonis, when we start coordinating the 2012 Phil Leonis Dean Haglund tour, should he actually arrange a screening of The Truth Is Out There in Selby, North Yorkshire? Because I don't think they'll have heard of Selby in Los Angeles.
Maybe not the best place. Maybe not the best audience for the film now.
She says it as she sees it, which is important. Tiffany, Lester?
What, smoggy?
Or clean? Happy?
It's busy, but the main city is quite, like, industrialised, so...
Right.
Yeah, a bit smoggy.
Would you again sort of consider Leicester? Now, there's a place. It even starts like London with an L, so you know, maybe they could actually... like Lincoln, you know, Lincoln, London, yeah. Leicester. They could actually have
in between.
The L tour, you know, a kind of subsidiary of the L word, which we won't go into, because obviously that's a different area entirely. You're looking shocked, Joy. Don't be. It's all right. We're working our way through this. Have you got any questions or comments you'd like to share with Phil Leonis in the sort of few moments we actually have here? Well, we have this transatlantic bonding where we feel it's all right. We're adults. We can share.
I've got a question for you, Alex, actually. I was just looking at our running order.
Yes.
And each week we have a running order, obviously. And each week there's a list of possible discussion topics on it.
Yes.
And we never, ever... discuss any of them.
I think you'll find, and I could actually call on my learned friend in Los Angeles to confirm that even with a somewhat patchy internet link, we actually had a specialist from indeed a radio service in the studio earlier, who was obviously from a Norwich radio station, who's actually doing a PhD in terms of local radio. I think you'll find children's television has had several mentions with respect to The Muppet Show, with
respect to the importance of. Have we?
I like to feel we've kind of subsumed that in. Just because Graham Harper, our other ace director, is too busy doing a night shoot, I mean, you know, admittedly, we could phone him up now. He's not going to answer. He's in the midst of directing.
Oh.
Phil Leonis will tell you this. He can't be picking up the telephone in the midst of a phone shoot.
Yeah. Well, what are the topics that you, or topic, what's the topic that you feel ought to have been discussed on this show?
Perhaps top of the list, the creative muse. We've not talked about that.
That's because I like to feel it's there among us as a matter of place. And muses, as artistic people often say, you don't want to scare them away. So you kind of, they're there, but you don't want to kind of, very gently, you know, the muse is there.
Well, the creative muse, who embodies the creative muse more than Katie Price? That's what I would ask you. There was your reference to the creative muse. Although, of course, I always thought Dean Haglund was the American Katie Price, and I learned today that I'm wrong about that.
It's true, and let's be honest, I don't think Dean Haglund has ever actually gone for implants in any part of his anatomy, as far as I'm aware. And certainly not implants which you've pumped up, then you've pumped down, then you've reduction, you've gone for the breast augmentation, you've gone for breast reduction. Honestly, the Katie Price scenario, you're not aware of that?
I didn't think they were genuine.
There you are. Another one of those.
It's kind of you to ignore the obvious calf implants that Dean Haglund received halfway through The Truth Is Out There, when those colored socks were fitting so much more shapely than they were at the beginning of the film.
You reveal these little treats in all sorts of ways. I bet, Joy, you haven't even listened to the extra special bonus Chilpack Hollywood edition that's available on The Truth Is Out There DVD.
I missed that bit.
You know, I'm shaking my head
I can see.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, Phil, you know,
missing Alex shaking his head. I will see to it when I get home from the Christmas meal tonight after I've had a couple of sherries.
And what could be more appropriate? Because it's safe to say, is it not, Alex, that the truth is out there is the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, precisely. Tiffany, any questions you'd like to put to Phil Leonis about life, the universe, journalism, anything you want to say, basically? You know, you're coming to the end of a sixth part of your degree. You've now shortly completed one whole sixth. That's, you know, of your whole process has actually been wrapped up. Anything you'd like to ask him?
So what's your main opinion on what's out there? Like, what do you think is the most important thing out there?
So that's a nice, simple one then, Phil.
The most important thing out there?
Yeah.
That's not a bad question, actually. Because after all, I travel the world so much, showing my movies, shooting my movies, pitching my movies, and I will tell you, I used to think that I did all this traveling, showing my movies and promoting them and shooting them, so that I would get to keep making movies. And a few years ago, I don't know where I was, but I was in some city traveling, and I realized that I had been lying to myself for many years, that the real reason, I had it backwards, basically, that in fact I make movies so that I will be allowed to travel the world and show them and share them and get to learn about people and hear their stories and get to learn about the places they live. And that basically the making movies is simply my way of singing for my supper. And the more artfully I sing, the more people I will get to meet and get to know as a result. So to me, I guess the most interesting thing out there is getting to meet people and learn about them.
Had it not been for making the movie The Truth Is Out There, he wouldn't have been at London Sci-Fi Film Festival. He wouldn't have become a regular correspondent on the Midweek Drive. For good or ill. But anyway, life, and for good, we like to say. You know, in an alternate dimension, it's ill, but, you know, we positive side of things in all sorts of ways. Or, as I often like to say, the truth is not so much out there as in here. It's a quote. A kind of paraphrase from the the sort of world of Star Trek VI. Star Trek V, in fact, Final Frontier, where William Shatner in his guise as James Kirk actually says, maybe the truth isn't out there, the real human truth, in here. Mm. Or what's that effect? Katie, have you enjoyed the show?
I think he uses the word God, not truth.
Yes, this is true. Well, God, truth, you know, we could go into all sorts of things here. You know, the American Dream Team are queuing up, ready to burst into the studio. Jodie's got to rush through the show tonight because she wants to join us for our Christmas meal as well.
Hooray.
We might have a few scraps for her. I don't know. It's a different line. It's all positive stuff. It's the last American Dream Team on a Wednesday.
Aww.
Next week, the American Dream Team becomes the Tuesday American Dream Team Drive Time. English hours. I think you're enthused by that. two English hours for the American Dream Team show on the drive time slot between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. With a special band and all sorts of other magical things coming through. Our quote today, Miguel de Cervantes. What did he write? Cervantes. Miguel de Cervantes. Tilting at windmills. Phil.
Silence.
No, it wasn't silence.
I'm sorry, I'm still trying to figure out how, if there's two British hours, how much time is there in the middle?
I know, it's a tough call, but still, that could be good. Anyway, as Cervantes said, he who sings frightens away his ills.
Perfect, and that, again, is what you teach us to do each and every week on the midweek drive.
I feel I'm almost becoming Yoda-esque on a week-by-week basis, but perhaps not. Natalie, would you like to throw those last two questions at Phil Leonis, s'il vous plaît?
Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
It has been both reasonable and interesting.
And can we look forward to connecting with you next week?
You will connect with me next week. Whether or not you personally can look forward to it is a matter for you probably your clergyman to decide.
I'm going to have to get over that whole Barney thing as well. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes I build up your hopes on these appearances, and other times I crush your dreams. Mm. And I'm sorry that it had to come that way.
It's balance. But we can actually reveal another little dream is being made because Katie Grimason has got her white lies farewell to the fairground, all set up and ready to actually go. So, quick reminder to Viv Morrell, to Cameron Tilbury, Michelle Monroe, and of course our fine lass Julia from OMG, exclamation mark, and to Phil Leonis, we salute you. Thank you, dear listener, for simply being there, sharing the moment, hopefully, wherever you happen to be. I've noticed that at least I'm getting a lot more, less flack now from Phil Leonis supporters on Facebook, saying I interrupt him constantly, so that's nice, you know. I don't know if they've given up listening or whether they actually care at all. If they do, obviously they'd like to sort of send in a connection. We like that kind of feedback anyway. To the team in the studio, earlier, of course, to our man from the University of Westminster and indeed Future Radio, Laurie Hallett. Thank you, Laurie. To Tiffany Freeman. Enjoy the show, Tiffany.
Yep, it was really fun.
Are you back next week or are you working then?
I'll see if I've got overtime, see if Sainsbury's beach too. I'll see what happens.
Other supermarkets are available. Katie, you, of course, your mother insists that you're here because it's like, you know, sign off for good behaviour, which is important. That's okay. And Natalie?
Hello.
You're back next week?
I should be, yes.
Good. And Joy?
Yes, I will be, yeah.
Say bye-bye, everybody. Say bye-bye.
Goodbye!
Bye. 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 Bye.